Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming today and being a part of this worship service. My goal, my object today is to help all of us to come to grips with the fact that life is sometimes lived with a jagged edge. If you haven't noticed that that's true, it is true. It's sometimes untidy business, this matter of living this life. Now, we as preachers and Christians, we often talk about the will of God and knowing the will of God. And I appreciate Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. He did a great job with that. It was a blessing to so many of us through the years, a long time ago now. But he said this in his book. He said, don't so much pray the prayer, God, what is your will for my life? As much as we pray, Lord, what is your will? God, just, what is your will? What are you doing in this world? And Father, I want to get in on it. Don't worry about my will. Don't worry about my life and what your will is for my life. It's all about God's will and his purposes for us. Now, having said that, life is still very untidy business. I read about a young couple who were trying to make a decision. They had finished college, and they were looking for a beginning for their lives, a new start in a new place. Well, he had a couple of options for his job and for their future. One was in a fairly large city. The salary was quite good, but it was a busy city, and maybe the community in the neighborhood was not so good. The other choice was a simpler life, a little bit less money, but a good community, good church. And they ultimately decided, they made the decision to go to the small town where it was a better community, a better environment, but less money. After a few weeks passed, a few months passed, they began to realize some financial difficulties and things got a little tight, a little bit difficult, a little bit of that jagged edge kicked in. And all of a sudden, they began to wonder, did I miss God's will? Was this the best choice? Was this the right thing to do? Now, I'm speaking to all of us here today because we all face those kinds of decisions, and we wonder, we think sometimes, Lord, have I missed something here? Billy Graham said, toward the latter part of his life, I took too many speaking engagements. Now, do you know what Billy Graham was doing? He was admitting to wrong choices. He was admitting to mistakes that when he got a phone call from the president saying, I want you to come speak to this group, or somebody in some governor somewhere, or some great gathering, he had an opportunity to speak, and he said, yes, when he knows now that he should have said no. This past week, I got a phone call to go speak to some preachers and the Chamber of Commerce in a city in East Texas, and I said, well, it's a good opportunity, it'll be fine, I'll try to encourage those pastors, and I'll try to encourage the chamber to try to do what's best for pastors and to know what we go through. And I think I can do this. I think I'll go and I'll do this, and I'm going to go. A couple of days later, I got a call from a family member saying, hey, we're all gathering up and doing this really special thing in this really, really beautiful place. And it conflicted with my decision to go to speak at that opportunity. Boy, I was pulled back and forth. This family opportunity to speak here. You know what? Life is like that. And when we spend too much time evaluating and thinking about what we should do, what we shouldn't do, listen, if our heart is right, if we're walking with God, if we're truly seeking to obey, by the way, I need to say this early on, and probably you'll hear it again. What is the will of God? It is the Word of God. Okay? Always remember that. What is the will of God? It is the Word of God. Now, there are times, the Bible does say that His sheep hear His voice and we know His voice. And what He's talking about there is that you and I know He has a still small voice. Yes, He speaks clearly and plainly, and His Holy Spirit doesn't have to lead us. We know what's right and what's good as we read the Scriptures. We know that. And yet, we do know that beyond the Scriptures, there are times in these daily decisions that we make where he prompts us by his Holy Spirit to do something. We just feel a sense that maybe he's leading us to do something. I'll never forget walking into that world-famous shopping place called Walmart. And I know it's your favorite spot in the world. And I was just walking by, you know, and this is the way life comes at us. I'm walking by, minding my own business. I've got a list of the things to buy and all that. And I just glance and I see this guy sitting on the bench over here. Now, I don't always stop and talk to people like that, but I felt an impression that with my list that I've got and the busyness that I've got to do, I just need to sit down by this guy and introduce myself, stick out my hand and talk to him. I looked at my list, and I looked at him, and the list won out. And I missed what I felt that the Spirit was prompting me to do. And I don't feel good about that. I still think about that. So we can miss these promptings of the Holy Spirit to do what he wants us to do in the life. And we want to be sensitive to the Lord because he does that on a regular basis if we let him. I was thinking last night as I was preparing this, do you know that I felt no prompting of the Holy Spirit, no pulling and tugging in the heart to come and be your interim pastor? I didn't feel that at all. But I look at this book, and I can preach the word. God has called me to do that. I find God's pleasure when I do this. Why shouldn't I do it? Why shouldn't I come and do this for a season in the life of this church to somehow bless you and encourage you and help you? Why shouldn't I? He didn't have to lead me. He didn't have to prompt me by his Holy Spirit. He didn't have to give me a still small message. It's in the book. It's what I should do. And so, you know, I think that's what I'm trying to say to all of us, that when life comes at you, if it's in the Word, if it's in the book, just do it. That's His will. You don't have to feel anything. He doesn't have to text you or send you an email or write something on the wall. Simply do what you know is the right thing to do, and that is His purpose, and that is His plan, and that is His will. It is possible. It's even a given that we will miss God's will at some time in our lives. And by the way, all sin is against God's will. We know that. But resisting and disobeying the promptings of His Holy Spirit does grieve Him, and He knows what's best. But the truth is, we are going to miss those opportunities sometime. And I don't know if this will set you free to keep moving forward in your life, but I pray that this message will give you a greater boldness simply to step forward toward that which you think is right, that which you think is good, that which you think is helpful, that which you think is a part of the Word of God, simply to do it for the glory of God and just trust Him with the rest. He doesn't have to lead us and give us that drawing of the Spirit if it's already in the Word of God, and God, may He help us to do that. Because Jesus never said, you missed my will for your life. Some of us operate in a lot of guilt, and we wonder, God, what should I have done? You know, when I made that decision, and we're talking about the biggies here, the mate that you chose, the college that you chose if you went to college. Why did you go to the one you chose? What was your motive? What was your purpose? What were you thinking about? What about a place to serve? Why did you move to that town instead of the other town? We're talking a little earlier about a future doctor who is trying to make a decision about where to live. And what do you think? How does that work out? You simply look at it and you evaluate it and you make a decision. This is a little bit of a bold statement, but I think it's true. God doesn't so much call us to a place. He calls us to Himself. God doesn't so much call us to a place to go here or to go there, but He says, when you make a choice, if your heart is right, go on. Take me with you. Make me a part of this experience. I will take your decision and I will grow you through it. I will make you to become more of what you do. You may get beaten up. You may get buffeted. You may have a difficult time, a challenging time, but I will be with you through that time. Make a decision. Sometimes I think the Lord, we pray, Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And I think the Lord says, well, what do you want to do? What would give you pleasure to do? The Bible says He loves to give us the desires of our heart. What is your desire? Well, I'd love to go to this place. I'd love to go. Well, just go. But take His presence with you. Take His leadership with you. And glorify Him wherever you choose to go. The will of God is a tough area to deal with, especially when it's the day-to-day-to-day decision-making. When I got that phone call, I made a decision. And I think my heart was right and I made it, but you know, I could have done something else. That's the way life is. It is lived on a jagged edge, and we need to deal with that in a special way. Acts chapter 16 is amazing. I think that this passage helps me a great deal to communicate this message. The Apostle Paul is on a missionary journey, and he is trying to lead his little entourage of people to fulfill the plan and the purpose that the Lord Jesus gave him. He is working. He is serving. He's going from place to place. Now, I'm going to read this passage, but I'm also going to insert some distances for you to help you to know that the Apostle Paul is leading a group of people all over an area, and it's not always successful. Paul and his companions travel through the region of Phrygia. That's 250 miles northwest of Derbe and Lystra. 250 miles. By the way, how did they travel back then? Bus, van, airplane, on foot. 250 miles. And Galatia, that's 50 miles to the northwest. Folks, that's like saying, okay, I want 10 of you to walk with me to Shreveport tomorrow. Any volunteers? And then we'll walk back a few days later. That's what he's doing here. And Galatia, 50 miles to the northeast, having been kept by the Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Paul has his entourage with him, and he's traveling so many miles, mile after mile after mile, through difficulty and probably bad weather and all those kinds of things. And he gets to this place, and the Holy Spirit does not let him go in. Well, now at some point, now we're all human beings here, as they were. At some point, would you kind of fold your arms and say, Paul, now, we're doing a lot of walking here. We're trying to get where we need to go, and are you sure that you're wise enough to get a message from the Lord here? We're you know, let's get this thing right, Paul. I think they're struggling with that. Let's go on. And when they came to the border of Mysia, 300 miles to the west, they tried to enter Bithynia, further north, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. That's 75 miles southwest. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. That's 50 miles northwest by boat, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days, and they walked everywhere. Do you get a picture here of what life is like for the Apostle Paul? If ever anybody could hear the voice of God and respond to the promptings of the Spirit of God, it was the Apostle Paul writing so much of the New Testament for us to be blessed by and to guide our lives. And yet, I think what Paul said was, men, let's go. Let's go. We're ready. Our hearts are right. We know the word. We have a message to tell. Let's go. Now, what is the Great Commission? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Remember that? It's an amazing passage that reminds us, and literally it says, as you go. We've often heard it saying, go therefore and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. But it's more accurately, it's as you go. as I go to the store and see a man on a bench and I feel the prompting to share the Lord with him as I go. I got a list in my hand. I've got things to do. As I go, share the gospel and win people. That's what we are to do. Life is like that. When you wake up on a typical day and you know you've got to be at the doctor at 9 o'clock and you've got to mow the grass between 11 and 12 or 1, grab a bite to eat, your day is planned out for you. When can you possibly stop and find out some powerful thing for God to do in your life? That's not realistically the plan of God. It's an as-we-go thing. If your mower breaks down, you got to have it fixed. Be alert on the way for ways to be a blessing to people. It's as you go. It's as you do in the kingdom of God. And I think that if we're guilty for somehow feeling that we made a misstep, we made a wrong turn. Billy Graham made a lot of wrong turns in his life when he accepted so many opportunities to teach or to preach or whatever it may have been. Why is that? Because he had a wife and children at home who needed a daddy. And so you've got to balance that out with the preaching of the gospel and somehow make the right decision. He admitted that I didn't make the right call. We're all in that boat. What do we do, Brother Jerry? How do we handle this as we walk with the Lord? First of all, knowing and doing the will of God doesn't mean that it'll be glorious and wonderful and we'll be happy and successful and prosperous in spite of what preachers say on television. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27, this is the Apostle Paul speaking again. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And he was right in the middle of the will of God. We think everything is going to be fine and dandy when we have this clear image of what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's the most difficult task for us to fulfill. Do you think you missed a turn somewhere in your life? Listen, God is an amazing God. He's an amazing God of grace in our hearts and in our lives. I have to tell you about the building of the Golden Gate Bridge. I read about that, and it was built during the Great Depression, 1933 to 1937. And during that time, jobs were highly sought after, and so a lot of people were willing to work on that major structure there in San Francisco Bay. An amazing process. They got up there and they began to work, but almost daily, because of the wind or the rain or the slippery iron that they worked on, men would slip and fall and they would be killed as they fell into those cold waters of San Francisco Bay. They began to die on a regular basis, and others began to, so the work began to slow down a little bit. It slowed down almost to a crawl, because the men were afraid to get out there and do that work. It was painful. It was difficult. So finally, the engineers decided to do something. They decided to make a net, and they built a net all the way under that bridge, extending a little bit over each side, all the way from beginning to end. After they built that net, work picked up. Labor began to speed up a little bit, because they knew that if they worked and if they made a mistake, that net, that safety net, would catch them and they would not die. I want to remind all of us today that as you live your life on the jagged edge of decision-making of when and where and how and why and all of those decisions you have to make, you may not get that clear message from God. And it may be one of those things where the Lord says, what do you feel like doing? Sit down with your wife, with your husband. You talk about it. You make a good, sound decision. But wherever you choose to go, I'll use you there if you'll let me. I'll put you to work there if you'll let me. And if it somehow is more difficult than you can imagine, I've got a safety net for you. And that safety net is called the grace of God. I will catch you there and I will pick you back up and I will use you again. Beloved, most of the time in my life, our lives are quite routine. And yet, in the Scriptures, there are occasions when the writers of Scripture say to us, for such a time as this. Life can be rather mundane. Your lives are probably pretty simple, pretty basic. Get up, get ready, go to work, whatever it may be. It's pretty basic. But be ready. Be prepared. Be aware of the fact that there may be one occasion, one time, when the Lord will use you for something very, very special. For such a time as this. In my own ministry of some 43, 44 years, it's like I'm doing just the regular work, preaching, trying to grow a church and minister to people and counsel, do all the things that we do as pastors and preachers. And over and over again, I'm doing this. And all of a sudden, there's an opportunity. Should I walk through a door that could be risky and dangerous, and yet the opportunity to do something great in the kingdom of God? It just kind of sneaks up on us. But if we're not ready for it, if we're not ready for those prime moments of fulfilling something a little bit greater than the humdrum of daily life, then he'll not use us. We need to be in that position, walking with him and spending time with him so that we can do that. Sometimes, I don't know if this is helpful to you or not, sometimes I think that the Christian life is somewhat like being in an athletic event. I played basketball back during the Civil War. I played basketball. And I remember faintly that there are some lines on the court. Those things were very aggravating. The lines are very aggravating. You know, you step on it, he blows a whistle. What is that all about? You know, you turn around and say, I didn't mean to step on the line, huh? Yeah, ref, he doesn't care whether you meant to or not. There's a line there. And as long as you stay within those lines, what are your options? What can you do and still have no whistle blown? You're not violating anything. You're still participating. You're in the act of attempting to win and to succeed. Folks, you can pass. Anything wrong with that? You can shoot. You can dribble. You can do all kinds of things on a basketball court and still be within the boundaries and the framework. If that illustration sets you free to just simply go and live life in the fullness of God, walking with him, then go and be blessed with your life and serve him. But because within that framework, you know, if you double dribble, if you step on a line, if you carry the ball, whatever it may be, you're going to get that whistle. That's called sin. You know that that's not the will of God. So within the framework of living your Christian life, just go and glorify God each and every day, being sensitive to the opportunities that he gives you to fulfill the greater things in the kingdom of God, to witness, to share, to help, to give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. Whatever it may be, follow him and love him and walk with him. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted him in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers in the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Here is Paul and here's Barnabas, struggling with the will of God, with that which is the right thing to do. Isn't this a daily kind of thing? And they had a disagreement. Two good men, two godly men, who saw a situation entirely different. But there's a safety net of grace. My word, not only did they just go as one group, now they're going as two. The safety net of grace took these four men, they separated them because they couldn't quite agree on what to do. And lo and behold, their work doubled and greater things were done. I love the statement that says that this is Paul and Silas, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Brother Jerry, why did you come and be our interim pastor at the time that you did? Why did you say yes? Why did you come for this 4 or 5 months or whatever and say yes to do this? That's the reason. In the Word of God, it said Paul went to do what? Strengthen the churches. I think there was a time a few months ago when you needed strengthening. And Paul went to these churches to strengthen them, to pick them up and to lift them up. And I'm grateful for that. Life is untidy business, and it's lived on a jagged edge. But Jesus said, I am with you, and I will never, ever leave you. A friend of mine who developed cancer, and she passed away soon thereafter, gave me a copy of something that I've found helpful. I framed it. I've got it at our home. And it has to do with taking risks. I think that some of us are much too risk-averse. We are a little too afraid to take risks in this life of moving into places where we have to have God's help. By the way, that's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to. If He gives you an assignment and you're so afraid to advance toward and to step toward that assignment, you're showing unfaith. God, I love you, I trust you, but I don't trust you enough to do that. Because I may stumble, I may make a mistake, I may goof up, and I may fail. But listen, risk-taking is essential in the Christian life. This is entitled, Risks. To laugh is to appear risking the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams, before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. Those who risk nothing, do nothing, have nothing, and are nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, and live. Chained by their attitudes, they are slaves. They have forfeited their freedom. Only a person who risks is free. The Christian life and the will of God, the purpose of God, as we look at it in the Word of God, it is here so plain and so clear. And the times that He leads us by His Spirit to do something specific, those are the key times when we know. And yet we read the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Which one got it right? Who fully understood the will of God? We're not really sure, but God took an experience where it could have gone either way, and He used it for His glory, His praise, and His honor. Timidity, hesitation, too much deliberation, too much caution, playing it safe. You don't want to be there all the time. There are times when you want to step into a place of trusting God to do something that you can't do yourself. Stepping into a place of faithfulness and obedience. This is not in my notes, but it's a perfect time to remind us all of the importance of giving. How are you doing in that area of your life? You see, the question is, do you trust God and His Word to be willing to give? Are you a tither? Do you give offerings? Well, I'm not being hurtful or critical or mean-spirited. It's not really a part of the sermon, but it's perfect example of knowing and doing the will of God in your life and stepping into a place. Whatever you do, don't tell the preacher you can't afford it, okay? Whatever you do, don't say that. You can't afford not to give generously in the kingdom of God. You cannot afford not to. And I encourage you to get in on that and glorify God in that very special way. Got kind of quiet in here. It's a great privilege. It's a great honor to walk with God and to step into those places of faithfulness as we serve Him each and every day. God's net of grace, God's net of restoration, God's safety net of usefulness is always there. And listen, when you make a decision in this life from now on, and you realize you made a wrong turn, you know, you made a decision that maybe could have gone the other way, maybe it should have gone the other way, don't dwell on that. Don't let that burden you. There's a safety net of grace that says, get up. I've got more for you to do. There's more in the kingdom for you to do as we serve the Lord together. What do we need to do, beloved? What's the summary of this message that I have for you today? It is this: if the Lord gives us life throughout Sunday, throughout today, and we wake up tomorrow morning and we're still alive, we're still healthy, and the world is still here, what do you need to do? In this book, it says to be filled with the Spirit. And it says keep on being filled with the Spirit. If that's not your experience, you need to get off somewhere today for all afternoon if you need to. You need to stay all night somewhere in the woods or somewhere, come to grips with what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. God does not withhold gifts. He doesn't withhold them. He knows how to give the gifts of the Spirit to people. He will give it. He will help you to understand what that means. Wake up tomorrow morning, be filled with the Spirit of God. And the other thing is to put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Put it on. If you're just going to mow the grass all day today, put on the whole armor of God. You never know what's going to happen. It may break down and you've got to go do something and you'll have a great opportunity. Put on the whole armor of God on a simple, regular Monday in your life. Be filled with the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then just start walking. Just start walking. If you're prepared, if you're ready, if you're walking with God, just start walking. And start living your life boldly with courage and faith, trusting Him all along the way. Oh, if you understand the book and you understand the Word and you're living in the Word, you're going to know His will. You're going to know what's right with regard to giving and praying and coming to church, how to help your neighbor. It's all in there. It's all in the book. And you'll know how to live and to do the will of God. But then for those special times, when He calls you and He leads you by His Spirit to do something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, be willing to take the risk of stepping into that place that says, God, I'm going to obey You here. And if You don't come along and help me, if You're not going to be with me, I'm going to fail. And so, you know that makes God excited? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So you want to please God? Step into those places of obedience where you absolutely, desperately need Him to accomplish something that He wants you to do. I pray that this message helps you today. It encourages you to just get up with a relationship with God and start walking each and every day, ready for those opportunities to be a blessing to people. Father, thank You for the day and thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would help us all as Your children, not to operate in guilt or a sense of failure because of the past. We all make wrong turns. We've all made decisions that were not pleasing to You. Thank You for the grace and that safety net that You offer to us, that You will catch us and lift us up and give us a new beginning for Your glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' precious name. I don't know what you need to do today regarding the message of the hour. I pray that the Spirit of God would touch each heart and give you the message that He wants you to give, you have to have. And I pray that you'll receive it and be obedient and walk with God in a fresh and new and more powerful way. Do you need to be a greater risk taker, knowing that God will be with you? Whatever you need to do, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today could be your day to trust Him. Open your heart to Him and be saved. This is a great church. If you need to lock arm in arm with the people here and serve in this place, I pray that you'll come and join this church today. But for sure, right where you are, right where you are, say something to God about your relationship to Him. Let's stand together. We're going to sing and worship. You obey the Spirit of God.